Hello, and welcome to I Watch This As An Adult, the podcast where I review movies from my childhood from an adult perspective. And this week, I'll be reviewing 1996's The Nutty Professor. Hey guys, welcome to the show. As you heard in the intro, I'll be reviewing The Nutty Professor from 1996, but before I get to that, got a couple of things that I watched this week. First of all, I'm a little pissed off at my wife. I'm a little irked at my wife because, you know how women are. Women, they want to spend time with you. They just want to spend time with you. Let's just get there. Like, I'm not even gonna beat around the bush or anything like that. It was like she wanted to spend some time with me. That's how women are. They just want to be all up under you and shit sometimes. And so that's what my wife was, and she made me watch this really stupid movie. I'm just gonna go out and say she made me watch this really dumb movie called Spell. It stars Omari Hardwick, you know, a ghost from Power. You might know him as. So yeah, she made me watch fucking Spell with Omari Hardwick and Loretta Devine's in there. They're the only two notable people that I've seen in a lot of things. Everybody else, I'm like, there's like this old, like, light-skinned old man in the movie too, but I don't know his name. He's been in a lot of shit, but I don't know his name, so he's just the old light-skinned man to me. But I don't know his goddamn name. I've seen him in things, but I never caught his name for some reason. But Spell, this movie really pissed me off, and it really I was just really like seething at my wife for like a day and a half. I was like, I'm over it now but I'm mad for effect, you know, like I'm not really mad anymore, but I'm mad for effect, you know. So thinking about the movie makes me mad. But anyway, Spell is about Omari Hardwick. He's supposed to be like, he's this like upwardly mobile Negro, of course. And he has a family. He has this family, this like really light-skinned family, of course. And I guess his dad died, and he has to go back to the country because like he's supposed to be like this country. This country bumpkin who became like this successful, I think he's a lawyer, but like he became like this successful lawyer, I want to say. And he went up to the mountains, I think they're like the Appalachian Mountains or some shit, or wherever that, I don't even know where that is. Is that in, I think, because they said it's in Kentucky. But so like he went up there in a single engine plane with his family, and what happened is that the plane crashed and he survived, and he was like chained to like this bed or some shit. Like it was some weird shit, like it was like some misery shit that happened to him. And it turned out like he was in this house with these like voodoo priests, voodoo priestess. Loretta Devine plays the voodoo priestess, and like she's just fucking batshit insane, and they do like weird rituals and shit. And she made like a fucking voodoo doll of him and all this shit. And he didn't know where his family was, and like she lied to him and told him what his family was. But I'm not really here to talk about the plot of the movie. I want to talk about how stupid this movie is. it's really stupid because, like, he's locked, because Amari Hardwick's character is locked in a room, right? And he tries to get out of the room. And he gets out of the room, I think, in, like, the first, I'm gonna say, 20 minutes of the movie? Because I want to say, like, the first maybe, like, 10 minutes of the movie. First maybe, like, 10 minutes of the movie is focusing on him and his family and how he got there and he crashed and shit. And then maybe at, like, maybe, like, the 25, maybe 30-minute, I'm gonna give it leniency, maybe 30-minute mark, he gets out of the goddamn room. He gets out of the room, and he's like just lurking around on the compound that he's at. He's like jumping from roof to roof and shit, like this is fucking Prince of Persia or some shit. And he's just like jumping around, and he got out of the room, and he witnesses like Loretta Devine and the light skinned dude. Light-skinned old dude, like, doing some, like, ritual shit, and one of the people sees Omari Hardwick, and, like, he just goes and runs and shit, and he runs back into the room, and like, he does it a lot. This is the thing, because, like, after that, because, like, they lock the door, and then after that, they stop locking the door, and he's just walking freely around the goddamn house. He's just walking freely around the house. He has to get out of this house to find his family, but instead he's just dicking around the house, you know. He's just dicking around the goddamn house. I think they put like there's a problem with his foot. His foot is hurt. Every time he gets up, his foot hurts. And then like he does a bandage around his foot. And every time he and then he unwrapped the bandage at one point, and then he sees the like a 1-inch nail driven into his foot, and he pulls the goddamn nail out, right? And all his like pus and blood and shit starts draining out, and so he goes. I'm trying to remember. I really try to block this movie out of my mind. I tried to block as much of this movie out of my mind because like it really pissed me the fuck off. He goes, and I'm really trying to remember what the fuck happens. But anyway, he's walking around the house and shit. Like, he's just, like, skulking around the house and shit. And I think Loretta Devine's character and the light-skinned dude, they leave the plantation or the compound or wherever the fuck they're at. Like, they go out. Now, it's like they went out on a day on the town or some shit. And he just walking around the goddamn house, walking around the compound and shit. Like, he didn't find his family. They feed him his son's arm, by the way. Like, they feed him his son's arm. He knows it's his son's arm. They kind of allude to that it's his son's arm. Because, like, there's, like, a part at the beginning of the movie. Because, like, there's a guy that the son comes interacts with, and he asks me like, "What happened to your hand?" He has like a broken finger, and like the guy asks me like, "What happened to your finger?" And he's like, "Oh, it was an accident," and he like, because like his finger's like crossed, it like it's like broken, and so like they mixed like the kid's arm in a stew, and they have the bones, and like Omari Hardwick's character puts the bones together, and he sees like the broken curve finger. So it's his son's arm that he ate, and so like he just throws up, and like his son has a tattoo on his hand, and like he threw up the tattoo. So like he unwittingly ate his son's arm. But anyway, back to Omari Hardwick's stupid ass. He's walking around the house. He was walking around the goddamn compound. He didn't think to go get help. Right? He didn't think to go get help. He didn't think, hey, I'm going to build some shit. You know, I'm going to find some shit around his house. Build some shit. And when these motherfuckers come back, I'm going to kill them. Cause me and my wife was talking about this. I was like, dude, if I could get out the house, I'm going John Rambo on these niggas. You know, like, I'm going John Rambo like a motherfucker. I'm killing everybody, you know, and getting the fuck up out of there. But yeah, man, it's like, I don't even want to finish the plot of this movie. The movie's goofy. It's stupid. Don't watch it. It's a dumbass fucking movie. That's the only thing I watched this week. I did watch a movie with my daughter. It was called Jangle Jangle. That was on Netflix. That was a bit better. It was a black Christmas fairy tale. I loved it. I was just looking at it. I was like, finally they made something for black kids, you know, because let's be honest, we don't make a lot of shit for our children. We really don't. We really, really don't. I looked at this movie with my daughter and my wife, and I was like, wow, this is great. I'm like, this is something that my daughter can watch, you know. And like Forest Whitaker is in it. Felicia Rashad's in it. Keenan Michael Key is in it. Anina Noki Rose is in it, which surprised me, and it surprised me and got me horny at the same time, because I love me some Anina Noki. I love me some Anika Noni Rose. Like, I got tongue tied just saying her name. When I saw she was in, I was like, oh Lord. Ooh. I was like, you know, so I was like, yeah. She's not in the movie very much, which disappoints me. But the movie's pretty good. I love it. I love it's just a whimsical Christmas tale with an all black cast. Or a mostly black cast. There's not a lot of white people in this movie. Forefront, anyway. Like, there's white people in the background. I think there's like this white guy that comes in every now and again. But most of the cast is black. You know, it's like 90%. It's like 99. I want to say 99. It's like 99% black. And there's like music in it. And like, it's like just this whimsical fairy tale about Christmas and inventions and robots and, you know, like, and I was like, I love this. I was like, cause, that was one thing. Cause that's something I didn't have growing up. You know, it's a lot, something that a lot of black kids didn't have growing up. We didn't have like fucking fairy tales of our own. We didn't have, like black kids movies. You know, every kids movie when I was growing up was white, and maybe they'll have a black kid in it. You know, like that was kids movies in the 80s and the 90s. It was like, it's a white movie, and maybe they'll have a black kid in it, you know. You're like, he'll be like the best friend or some shit, you know. You know, some shit like that. And it's just, you know, we never really had anything like, we never really had anything like that, you know. Like black kids could never be whimsical, could never use their imagination. You know, I had to look at white kids to use my goddamn imagination and be whimsical. You know, it's kind of sad. Like, we never really made a lot of stuff for our children. I mean, like, Bill Cosby made Fat Albert, but even Fat Albert was, like, too adult. Because, like, this motherfucker's talking about, he's talking about jail. He's talking about mental retardation. He's talking about crack. You know, I think it was like, there was like a episode about pedophilia, you know, like Fat Albert was like, you look at Fat Albert now, it was like, god damn, what were we showing kids, you know? I guess you got The Wiz, but that's just the takeoff of The Wizard of Oz. It's like, it's not original, you know, but this is like the first like original black kids movie. I loved it. We need more like it. We need to make more content for our children. Like, the adults are fine. We got tons of content. But we need content for our children so they can be kids. Because there's too much of them watching our stuff and they're growing up too fast and doing things that they shouldn't be doing at a young age. You know, like, we need to keep our kids kids is what we need to do. That's my rant about that. I'll be back with my review of The Nutty Professor. See you guys later. This episode is presented by Wild CBD. Wild produces the best tasting edibles on the market, using real fruit and all natural flavoring. With flavors inspired by the Pacific Northwest, high quality ingredients, real fruit, and consistent dosing, Wild has become one of the leading cannabis edible producers in the country. Wild's new CBD line currently offers fruit-infused gummies in blackberry, huckleberry, lemon, and raspberry, and CBD-infused sparkling water in raspberry, lemon, blackberry, and blood orange. Each gummy is dosed with 25 milligrams of CBD and can be purchased in a bottle of 10 or 20. Wild CBD is offering our listeners 30% off their next purchase from wildcbd.com by using the code POD. That is the code POD for 30% off your next purchase. Alright guys, Nutty Professor, 1996. I like to start off with how I saw this movie as a child. This is one of the few movies that I saw in the theater. We didn't go to the movies very much. That's the short end of that story. this is actually a remake of a 1963 film, which starred Jerry Lewis in the lead. This film was directed by Tom Shadyac. I hope I'm saying that right. Who also directed Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, Liar Liar, and Patch Adams, otherwise known as future episodes if I watch this as an adult. So, like, those movies will probably be coming soon. He also directed something called Frankenstein, The College Years, which intrigues me. I may watch that. This movie doesn't really have a big cast. Eddie Murphy stars as a whole cast of characters, but mainly as the overweight, lovable professor Sherman Klump and his alter ego Buddy Love. Jada Pinkett co-stars as his love interest Carla Purdy, who's another professor at the college that he works at. Like I said, this movie really doesn't have a big cast because Eddie Murphy is most of the cast. It's Eddie Murphy. And Eddie Murphy. which, I'm not going to knock Eddie Murphy for that because, like, I've always admired Eddie Murphy's character work. It's like any character that he plays, he just gets lost in it. You put makeup on Eddie Murphy's face, you put Eddie Murphy in a bodysuit, and you gonna lose Eddie Murphy. You're not talking to Eddie Murphy anymore. You talking to that character. That's who you talking to. I'm most impressed with the way he plays the lead character, Sherman Klump, because he plays Sherman Klump with just such heart and, like, such humility. That you, like I said, he gets lost in that character. You forget that's Eddie Murphy. It was like, that's not Eddie Murphy. That's Professor Sherman Klump. You know, I actually remember people talking about the production of this movie. I was watching some show. I don't know if it was like Access Hollywood or Inside Edition or something like that. It was like, I think it was like one of the news shows. Anybody remember Hard Copy? I don't think anybody remembers Hard Copy. I think Hard Copy gets mentioned in The Nutty Professor, which is funny enough. There's somebody that say, hey, like, I'm gonna put you on Hard Copy or something like that. It was some crazy shit. But, like, I think it was like a Hard Copy or look up Hard Copy, kids. Look up Hard Copy. Or like Inside Edition or something like that, where, like, they were talking about Eddie Murphy gaining weight or something like that. It's like, this is Eddie Murphy, unrecognizable. It looks like he gained 400 pounds. And it was like, everybody's like, oh shit, Eddie Murphy got fat. And
I remember that. I remember when I was a kid, people really thought Eddie Murphy got fat. And it was like, look at Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy got fatter than a motherfucker. It was like, I remember that. Like, people actually thought that Eddie Murphy got fat. And then realized, oh, it was for a movie, and he really didn't get fat. It was a bodysuit and prosthetics. You know, like, he didn't, like, eat a whole bunch of, like, fucking Krispy Kreme. I don't know if Krispy Kreme was around in 1995, but, like, he didn't eat a lot of, like, Dunkin' Donuts and McDonald's and Burger King, you know, and Pizza Hut and all this shit. He didn't eat to get himself that fat. It's all prosthetics, but... Like I said, love him as Professor Sherman Cup. He plays that character with such fucking heart, man. That character has such a big heart. Probably from heart congestion, but he has such a big heart. The Clump family scenes are like the highlight of this movie. He plays four of the... Is it four? Plays four of the Clump family members, because he plays his mother, he plays the father, he plays his brother Ernie, which I'll get into in a little bit, and he plays the grandmother, which another character that he loses himself in. A lot of people didn't even think that was him as the grandmother. It was like, that can't be him as the grandmother. It was like him as the old Jewish man in Coming to America. People didn't think that was Eddie Murphy as the old Jewish man in the barbershop. They was like, that can't be Eddie Murphy. That's gotta be... They hired some white man. They're like, that's some white man in there. That ain't Eddie Murphy. Same thing with the grandmother. It was like, they hired a real old lady to be the grandmother. That can't be Eddie Murphy in a granny suit. That's Eddie Murphy in a granny suit. And then you saw they did like the end credits, and he took like the fucking wig off and shit. He was like, oh yeah, that is Eddie Murphy. But he's like, so good. He's so fucking good. He's so fucking good at character work and at impersonating people and just these impressions. Like, he's... Nobody can hold a candle to him today. Like no one can hold a candle to Eddie Murphy when it comes to goddamn impressions and losing yourself in a character. Because even, I shouldn't be giving this away because this would probably be good for like the coming, if like whenever I review Coming to America. But you guys probably won't remember this in like 6-7 months or whenever I review Coming to America. You guys probably won't remember this, but John Amos had an interview where he said that there was a guy that came up to him, and like the guy, I think it was like he was supposed to be like a homeless guy, and the guy asked him for some changes or shit, and he was like rude, and like John Amos was like, hey buddy, what's wrong with you? What's your problem? Right? And he didn't know it was Eddie Murphy. Like, Eddie Murphy stayed in character the entire time. I think that's what they say. They're like, every time he was in character, every time he was in a bodysuit and prosthetics and shit like that, you weren't talking to Eddie Murphy. You were talking to that character. And like, that's how good, that's how dedicated Eddie Murphy is to character work, and I love it. Jada Pinkett is here. Jada Pinkett is just here. Jada Pinkett is just there to be eye candy. And I was just thinking about her. I was just thinking about Jada Pinkett and her role in this. And just thinking about black women in the 90s, black actresses in the 90s. I was like, and I was just thinking about like the black actresses of today. And I was just like, they don't make black bombshells anymore. They don't make black bombshells anymore. What I'm talking about is like a black chick that can act, but she fine as fuck, you know, like, she just fine in a motherfucker. And like, there was a lot of them back in the day. It was just, like, you had Jada Pinkett, you had Angela Bassett, you had Halle Berry was the biggest of them all. You had I talked about Layla Rashan a couple of episodes ago. You had Layla Rashan, You had later Rashawn really couldn't act, but she was a fucking black bombshell. You had Nia Long, you know, like Vivica Fox, you know, like you had the list goes on and on and on. So not Lathan, Gabrielle Union was a black bombshell back in the day. You know, all these women are like, all these women are in like their 50s and 60s now. You know, like all these women are in their 50s and 60s now, and nobody picked up that mantle. Nobody picked up that mantle. I mean, like, who's a black bombshell today? Zendaya? Is Zendaya a black bombshell? You know? Is Tessa Thompson a black bombshell? Like, they're beautiful girls. Pretty girls, but, like, they not really, you know, like, they're not bombshells, you know? What's that other girl? God damn it. Who's that other girl? That was another girl I was thinking about. And I can't, Naomi Harris. Naomi Harris is pretty. Not a black bombshell. You know, like, there are no black bombshell. Lupita Nyong'o, not a black bombshell, per se. You know, she's a really good fucking actress. Not a black bombshell. You know, like there's, I can name a lot of white bombshells, and they be like, fucking Margot Robbie, like, is a white bombshell. I said, I was about to say she was a black bombshell. Margot Robbie is a black bombshell. No, she's not. Margot Robbie is a white bombshell. You know, like, there's a bunch of white bombshells. Like, there's white girls that can act, but, like, they fucking, but, like, they, like, dudes, like, want them sexually. You know, there's not a lot of that going on right now. Janelle Monáe is fine as fuck. Janelle Monáe fine as shit. Maybe she's a black bombshell, I don't know, but she started off as a singer. You know, like, singers gotta be bombshells. There's many black bombshell singers, like Beyonce, Megan Thee Stallion, Cardi B, Janelle Monáe, you know, there's plenty of female bombshells in the music industry, like black bombshells in the music industry, like Rihanna, you know, like you could name them, just keep going, you know, but those keep going, but like acting black bombshells, they don't have anymore. Another one, Lisa Nicole Carson was one back in the 90s. She was in everything, and she was the definition of a black bombshell. She had like big old titties, she had a big old ass, all her shit was like proportionate, she was pretty. You know, like, she had it all, and she was a decent actress. She was not a bad actress. If you don't know, look at Ally McBeal. She was like Ally McBeal's best black best friend on Ally McBeal. If you remember Ally McBeal, that's who Lisa Nicole Carson was. She was in Devil in a Blue Dress. She was in Eve's Bayou. Lynn Whitfield was another black bombshell. Dudes wanted to love Lynn Whitfield down like motherfucker. Like, she was another black bombshell. Like they ain't got no more Lynn Whitfields no more. You know, like, there are no real black bombshells out there anymore. And they're like, there's a lot of pretty black girls. There's a lot of pretty black girls. No black bombshells. Like I said, in music, you can name tons of them. The Doja Cat is the one I left out too. I'm thinking about Doja Cat. Doja Cat's another. She's a black bombshell. In music, you know, but in movies, that art is dead and gone to me in movies. Like, there's none of that. Every other chick is like a bombshell, except for, like, there are none. But in the black community that I can think of. But anyway, let's move on from that rant. Dave Chappelle is in this movie. Dave Chappelle plays a hack deaf comedy jam comic. He's a hack deaf jam comic, which I got my thoughts on that because I studied the scene the first time Dave Chappelle's on screen, and then like the second time Dave Chappelle's on screen, I studied those two scenes because like I feel like that's a commentary It's like a commentary. It's like Eddie Murphy's commentary on where black comedy went in the 90s, I think. I think that's what that was. Because, like, Dave Chappelle's character, I think his name is Reggie Warrington. Reggie Warrington is very clownish. He's very buffoonish. He has, like, one hack joke, and then he starts just, like, roasting the crowd. That's what he does. Which is kind of what comedy is now. It's like there's a lot of people in comedy doing crowd work instead of telling jokes. You know, crowd work's good, you know, but you gotta have some jokes too. Have some fucking jokes. But like, yeah, like a lot of Def Jam comics did crowd work. That's what they did. It's all about the crowd work. And Eddie Murphy was never a crowd work guy. He had jokes. He told stories. He was like very, he was very linear with his comedy. Like, cause like he's in the vein of a Bill Cosby and a Richard Pryor and a Red Fox, you know, guys that like told jokes and like they told stories, you know, like we're telling a fucking story here. But, yeah, he was never a crowd work comedian. Even like Chris Rock, he's not a crowd work comedian. He's cut from the cloth of like Eddie Murphy and guys like that. Like he's telling fucking stories and shit. Dave Chappelle telling fucking stories. Even Kevin Hart telling fucking stories. You know, like a crowd work guy is not. Crowd work guys really don't move up too much. But yeah, but like. I think that was a commentary on that. And then it was Eddie Murphy's ego coming into play. I think Eddie Murphy's ego just coming into play and just showing like he's like, I could come back at any goddamn time and rip this stage. That's what that was to me too. It was like it was commentary on black comedy where it was in the 90s, but it was also Eddie Murphy saying, dude, like I could come back at any goddamn time and rip this goddamn stage. Cause like the scene with him and Dave Chappelle when like he just starts like roasting Dave Chappelle and shit. He's like, and he's just like, and he's just like going off. He's like in rare fucking form, you know. Like this was like a mini Eddie Murphy comedy special. It was like a mini Eddie Murphy comedy special to me. Cause I was like, dude, he's just showing you, like, dude, like don't fuck with me, don't fuck with me. I'm the king. Do not fuck with me. That's what Eddie Murphy was saying. Do not fuck with me. I could come back on this stage anytime and tear your shit up. It was like, I will embarrass you. I will fucking embarrass you on this stage. You don't want it with me. It's like Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan just like, he's like, don't do it. You don't want it. I could come back anytime and drop like 40 on you. You don't want that. You don't want that smoke. You don't want that smoke. You know, like, it like you will never lose what you your talent, you know? Like I said, The Rock. Like The Rock doesn't want to do movies anymore. The Rock is like I could come back anytime, hit motherfuckers with rock bottoms, you know. You know, like I can get back in that wrestling ring and tangle with the best of them. You don't fuck with me. But you know, it's like that. You know, like you will never lose your talent. You will never lose your God-given talent and what you great at. Like that's what Eddie Murphy was doing there. It was like he was telling like I will never lose this talent. This is in me. It's God given. It's like I'm the GOAT. You don't want to fuck with me. You know, I was like, that is mainly what that whole scene was about. But anyway, another person I want to talk about in this movie was Larry Miller as Dean Richmond. Very underrated character. Didn't understand him as a kid. Understand him now because I laughed at a lot of his jokes. I found myself laughing at Larry Miller's jokes a lot in this movie because like they're very just subtle and understated, you know, just very fucking subtle jokes. And I actually remember speaking about Larry Miller. I remember my family thinking that Larry Miller was racist just because of the way he treated Sherman Klump. It was like, oh man, he racist. I was like, what? I don't think he's being mean to him because he's black. I think he's being mean to him because he's fat. You know? He doesn't like him because he's fat. Yeah, it's not, I don't think he doesn't like him. I don't think it's because he's black. You know? But yeah, man, like, man, he's racist. I was like, what? Come on, bro. I was like, I don't know if Larry Miller is a racist in real life, but I don't know if he is, but I didn't get that vibe from this. Shout out to the makeup and special effects people also. They need a great shout out. Actually, this movie won an Academy Award for makeup. So there you go. Which is why I'm talking about this movie right now. Because this is supposed to be Oscar movies that I'm reviewing, and people are probably being like, Nutty Professor wasn't nominated for an Oscar. But I'm like, yes, it was. It won the Academy Award for makeup. So gotcha there. Anyway, yeah, man, makeup people, special effects people. I remember the special effects in this movie in 1996 blowing everybody's mind. It was like, yo, man, he could turn from fat to skinny. And look at that makeup job. And it was like, look at this, is this is blowing my mind. This is groundbreaking. You know, now that shit look like fucking like PlayStation 2 graphics. But you know, it looked like, it looked like the first Shrek movie. It looked like the first Toy Story movie. Now that's what it looks like. It looks like when Pixar first started. But yeah, shout out to them, to the makeup department though, bro. Like they Oscar well deserved, man. Like I said, still had fun with this movie. This movie's totally fun. It's funny because I haven't seen this movie. I haven't watched this movie in years, and automatically I just knew all the goddamn jokes. I just knew everything that was gonna happen. I was like, oh damn. I was like, I remember everything from this movie, and I haven't watched this movie in like maybe like 20 years. You know, like it's been a long time since I watched The Nutty Professor. But yeah, man, I was like, I just got back into the groove of it and had fun with it. Fun. It's just a fun fucking movie. It's a fun movie. But this is also Eddie Murphy's Crossroads movie, you might say. This is like right before he started crossing over to kid-friendly films in like the 2000s. You know, because like the 2000s is just, 2000s is just Eddie Murphy making money. You know. I think because the 80s is him being a goddamn superstar. Like, you can't touch him in the 80s, man. He just has a fucking catalog of movies that cannot be touched in the 80s. But like in the 90s, it was him trying to be kind of like out the box and be an auteur, because he did a lot of different shit in the 90s, you know. Cause he did Boomerang, he did this movie Nutty Professor, he did Vampire in Brooklyn, he did The Distinguished Gentleman in the 90s, he did Holy Man, he did Bowfinger. Bowfinger's a good one. I like Bowfinger. He did Life in the 90s. You know, he's just doing a lot of different shit in the 90s. You know, Dr. Doolittle, that was like his first, I think Dr. Doolittle is where he was like, hey man, maybe this kid shit could work for me, you know. That's where he got like the first taste of kid money. He's like, I'm gonna keep this on the back burner while I'm doing my like artistic credibility shit for the rest of the decade, you know. So, but yeah, man, it was like the 90s was like real, it was real hit and miss for Eddie. He was like, cause like he was just trying new shit in the 90s. That was the 90s was Eddie Murphy's experimental period. You know, he's like, I'm gonna try a different shit. Let me do all this shit. He did do Beverly Hills Cop 3 here, but you know, like, yeah, everybody needs money. But everybody needs money. You know what I'm saying? He did another 48 hours in the 90s too. Like everybody, like I said, everybody needs money. Like, but everything else, it was like he was trying shit out. He was just trying to be artistic, you know, and try other shit. But like I said, a lot of it hit, some of it hit, some of it didn't, you know. But he tried. Like I said, like the 2000s was just Eddie Murphy making money. He was like, let me make money off of these goddamn kids, you know. Like, let me do all these goddamn kid movies, you know. And now he's settled. Now he doesn't have to do that shit anymore. He just recently came back. He did Dolomite Is My Name. Great movie. He Coming to America 2 is coming out. And we're going to see how that does next month. We will see. Like I said, Eddie Murphy is still the goddamn GOAT. Like he, no one can hold a candle to Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy will still be the GOAT. I think this year was supposed to be the year he finally came back to stand up, but COVID happened. I'm really dating this episode with that. Remember COVID? Remember COVID? I'm gonna put that in there. So like, when was this episode made? Was this made in 2022? Was this made in 2032? Who knows? But yeah, man, but like hopefully we get to see him on that stage one last time. I really do want to see Eddie Murphy get back on stage. He said he's got the funny bone back. He said he's got the itch to pick up that microphone and get back on that stage again. I really want to see it. I really want to see it. Because if you think about it, he only did 2 comedy specials. He did Delirious and he did Raw. And that's it. And like he did like a little stand-up shit in the middle. In the 80s, you know, like that, he was like on like the Johnny Carson show and shit like that. We did like stand up shit there, but like he didn't really do a lot of stand up specials. He ain't got specials like Chappelle and Chris Rock or even Richard Pryor, you know, like he doesn't have like stand up specials like that, you know, like just like they just keep like popping them out, just keep doing them. He's even like a Kevin Hart. You know, Kevin Hart, even though he's like a movie star now, he's like, he keeps popping out comedy specials. He's like, he never left comedy, you know, but like Eddie left comedy for a good while. Like he hasn't done stand up in like 32 years. I want to say like Raw came out in like 88. Raw came out in 1988. That was his last comedy special. And like, he hasn't done comedy since. He hasn't picked up that microphone and got on that stage since. So hopefully, like he showed a little glimpse in the Nutty Professor that he can still do the shit though. Like he's like, I'm still funny, goddammit, don't fuck with me. He showed that he can still do it. But like he recently came back to Saturday Night Live. He's got the bug. He's got the itch for stand up again. Maybe we will see it again. Maybe we will see it. But otherwise, this movie's great, man. I got no qualms with this movie. This movie's still fucking funny. 5 out of 5 for me. Join me next week when I review Forrest Gump, everybody. It's the moment you've been waiting for, probably. I don't know. Till next time, peace, everybody.